We need it to protect the world because our own safety is at stake. And again, you want to have a war, just let Putin go ahead and take Kyiv, make sure they move on, see what happens in Poland, Hungary, and other places along that border. Then you have a war.
President Joe Biden last night face-to-face and former President Donald Trump from Atlanta in the debate. The controlled microphones controlled much of the sidebars and the 90 minute plus. It went actually to 39 after the hour.
Larry, one of the things I think that we haven't talked about yet, but I think we should talk about, is I think they found a debate format that works.
Yeah, there's been some criticism of it. However, I think in the end, it probably benefited Donald Trump the way they did this, because it kept a certain focus and it kept things from really getting out of control. It was contentious, of course, at times. You knew it would be.
Yeah, it was personal.
Yeah.
And very personal.
And we're used to that now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been 8 years, so we're used to that. It gets personal.
And as we were saying before we got started this morning off the air in our pre-show chat in the studio, and I'd like to repeat it, I think it would have been helpful for Kennedy to have been there as well.
Well, it'll be interesting because the next debate is scheduled for September 10th. Now, a lot can happen in between here and there.
Will there be a debate?
Will there be a debate?
I mean, and will the Democratic candidate be different? I mean, there's Democrats are talking today about alternatives. And I was shocked to hear that when I woke up and started, you know, going through the news. It shocked me to hear, you know, the people who are spinning this thing for the Democrats talking about perhaps he should step aside. They need to find someone else.
There is, I'm sure, talk about what are alternatives potentially. I mean, with the earliest presidential debate in history, there's time, unlike there would be a lot less, but it's still late in the game.
So that may be another good thing that came out of the debate is that the discussion is now being had. And I don't think that this is solely a question about Biden. I think that this is a question about our two men near 80 are, you know, is that time for someone to still be president?
Well, they were asked about that, and I'll share some of that. And we'll share more. 866-391-1020. Want to hear from you all morning. We'll sprinkle your calls in wherever we can, but we'd love to hear from you. But this was a big question, and it came very late in the debate.
Let's turn to concerns that voters have about each of you. President Biden, you would be 86 at the end of your second term. How do you address concerns about your capability to handle the toughest job in the world well into your 80s?
Well, first of all, I spent half my career being criticized being the youngest person in politics. I was the second youngest person ever elected to the United States Senate, and now I'm the oldest. This guy's 3 years younger and a lot less competent. I think that just look at the record, look at what I've done, look how I've turned around the horrible situation he left me. As I said, 15 million new jobs, 800,000 manufacturing jobs, more investment in America, over billions of dollars in private investment in enterprises that we are growing.
President Trump, to follow up, you would be 82 at the end of your second term. What do you say to voters who have concerns about your capabilities to serve?
Well, I took two tests, cognitive tests. I aced them, both of them, as you know. We made it public. He took none. I'd like to see him take one, just one, a real easy one. Like, go through the first five questions. He couldn't do it. But I took two cognitive tests. I took physical exams every year. And, you know, we knock on wood, wherever we may have wood, that I'm in very good health. I just won two club championships, not even senior, two regular club championships. To do that, you have to be quite smart, and you have to be able to hit the ball a long way. And I do it. He doesn't do it. He can't hit a ball 50 yards. He challenged me to a golf match. He can't hit a ball 50 yards. I think I'm in very good shape. I feel that I'm as in good a shape as I was 25, 30 years ago. Actually, I'm probably a little bit lighter, but I'm in as good a shape as I was years ago. I feel very good. I feel the same. But I was willing to take a cognitive test. And you know what? If I didn't do well, I aced him. Dr. Ronny Jackson, who's a great guy when he was White House doctor. And then I took another one, a similar one. And one of them said they've never seen anybody ace him.
Thank you.
So you get a bit of a yin and the yang on that. I thought it was interesting. And
I mean, it's what you expect to hear from both of them.
Yeah.
They both say, I'm fine. I'm good to go.
From that point, to me, there were no big surprises from either one. I was surprised President Biden's voice was so hoarse, and he seemed, unable at times to collect his thoughts.
He seemed to lose his way, yeah. And I would also like to throw in again, people say that on the Biden team that he had a cold.
Yeah.
And that explains the hoarse voice and soft tone of voice.
Well, there was definitely something wrong physiologically with his voice. You could tell the minute he opened his mouth. So, but I found it laughable to talk about the golf thing as won the club championship.
It's great that he's a good golfer, but that has nothing to do with being a good president.
Well,
I mean, Eisenhower was a good president, and he was a dedicated golfer. What difference does it make? None.
Remember when they used to criticize the presidents for playing golf at all?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have the time to play 18 holes of golf. Of course, Donald Trump's had a lot more time in recent years since he left the office. But back and forth, 866-391-1020.
I am so excited to be hearing from our listeners about this. This is the kind of an event that will probably have had a record audience, number one, and number two, almost everyone who's going to vote is interested in this and wants to say something about it.
866-391-1020. What do you think on the Big K Morning Show? 866-391-1020. That's our number. And we go to Shaler. And welcome, Bill, to the Big K Morning Show.
Yeah, Larry, I'm just afraid of what the rest of the world saw with our commander-in-chief. It's kind of scary and almost a shaming. That's my big concern.
And did you go into the debate already aligned with one or the other candidates?
I was kind of on the fence. I mean, I see some stuff that Biden's done, and and what President Trump did in the past. And the debate, I thought, was kind of a bit of a debacle, and like I said, I'm just more in fear of what the rest of the world saw and how they perceive us.
All right, Bill, appreciate your input, man. Have a great weekend.
Larry, one of the reactions I heard from Senator Lindsey Graham on that topic is that he's concerned that this gives this debate gives the bad guys in the world, like the Iranians, for example, it will embolden them to do something because they can.
All right, let's go to Andy in the South Hills. You're on the Big K Morning Show, Andy. What'd you think?
Well, my initial thought prior to the debate and even during the debate is this the best that we can do? We have President shuffle along and former President shovel a lot, and the Democratic Party better do something because, one, it's not the same Democratic Party that I grew up with 30 years ago. And I think the Republican Party will do a little bit better based off of Donald Trump's vice presidential candidate. But we're in a world of hurt with either one of those candidates.
Did it change any perception you had after the fact from when you went into it?
I would agree with the previous caller. It worries me. It has not changed my mind at all. I think we have to do better.
Is there a Democratic candidate you'd like to see?
I can't think of one right off the top of my head. But I don't think President Biden is capable for another 4 years, and I don't really think Vice President Kamala Harris is prepared for the job.
What's your reaction to the idea of Josh Shapiro running for president?
I think Josh would actually make a pretty good president. I kind of like how he is governing the state.
You know, it'd be interesting if he had already had a term in as governor of Pennsylvania and we were in this situation now. It might be different, but we'll see what the outcome is. Either way, Andy, we thank you for your input.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, we're going to go to Turtle Creek. Lori, you're on the Big K Morning Show.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm up bright and early after watching all of the debate. I think that you really needed to watch the debate. I like to plug also KDKA, but watching this debate, kind of like the Kennedy and the Nixon debate, you needed to see it. At any rate, I do think President Trump did well. Naturally, there are a lot of times in the past where he would, make an outburst, but I think it's just the fact that he always is in a defensive mood because of, everybody coming after him. But I think one of the things with Biden is I've heard a lot of comments from MSNBC, CNN, saying recently that the, videos of President Biden have been altered. Clearly, this opened a lot of the people that were in denial as far as his condition. Now they could see what he's truly like. Not only the way he talked, but he appeared at times to be, just staring and vacant.
All right, Lori. I appreciate
it.
We want to get to some more calls. Appreciate you taking time. Thank you. All right, we're going to go to Point Breeze. Here is Joanne.
Good morning. When I first turned it on, Mr. Trump, the evil look on his face initially, as far as did we learn anything new? No. Except that Mr. Trump decided to say he did nothing wrong with January 6th. We can't trust Mr. Trump, ex-President Trump. So you older people better come out, because not only is it a strike against people to make own decisions about their bodies, especially women, and these men are a part of this. These women didn't make these children by themselves. So he continues to tell tales. So anyway, have a good week, and thank you for taking my call.
All right, Joanne, 866-391-1020. You're welcome to call, and we'd love to hear from you. Really would. We will also hear, right after the news at 6:30, political analyst Doug Saltzman. We've got the Democratic chair of Allegheny County coming up, Sam Hans-Greco, right after the news at 7. Then we have the Republican chair of Allegheny County's Republican Party, Sam DeMarco. We'll also check in with KDKA-TV's John Delano and a expert at presidential rhetoric in our 8:30 hour, Dr. Jerry Schuster. It'll be interesting to get his take, all of their takes. Most importantly, what's your take? 6:25 at KDKA from the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center. AAA traffic powered by Bowser and Genesis of Monroeville now open. Let's get an early update with Heather Zambito.
Yeah, we're starting to see traffic build on the major roadways. In particular, we're seeing a jump in volume on the Parkway West right now. You're going to start to get into some slow-moving traffic really at the bottom of Green Tree Hill, a little sluggish-moving traffic as you pass Carnegie and start into town. And then you're going to pick back speed, and then you're going to slow again about around the runaway truck sand pile on the Parkway West on the inbound side. On the Parkway East inbound, sluggish traffic starting at around Edgewood, Swissvale. No issues right now on the Parkway North in the HOV lanes are open, and we're still seeing that sluggish traffic in both directions on 65. This is approaching Fisk Avenue. With AAA Traffic on the 5s, I'm Heather Zambito on the Voice of Pittsburgh, 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
And we're looking at 88 for a high today, and 85 tomorrow, 82 on Sunday. In between here and there, chance for some thunderstorms that could develop as early as late tonight and overnight. And right now we're at 59 degrees with sunshine in the city. All right, Cynthia in Valencia, you're on the Big K Morning Show. What'd you think?
Hey, good morning, Larry. Of course, we all have bad days, and I don't think that the president performed well, but I don't think the former vice president did well either. He was quoted as about 30 lies, and it is pretty difficult to debate a liar. So I think if we give both of those gentlemen another whack at it, we're gonna find that Joe, if he can just be himself, I think he's the guy. I don't think we can give that former president another go. He's got too many strikes against him. And let's face it, he's going to be facing the results of his being a felon and what his what he is facing as a result of being guilty on 34 counts.
He said Joe Biden weaponized the Justice Department to get his candidate because he couldn't win fairly. What do you say to that?
It wasn't Joe Biden's Justice Department that went, that went, quote, as he says, after him. That's not accurate. You really cannot believe what the former president has to say.
All right, Cynthia, we appreciate your input. We'll squeeze one more call in. Tom in Findlayville, you get the last word this half hour.
Hey, what's up, Larry? How you doing, man?
I'm good, brother. What's on your mind?
Hey, what did you think was going to happen? If anybody ever watched any of the press conferences, you've seen exactly how he was. He did the exact same thing on a debate. I'm talking about Biden.
Okay, what do you mean? Under press conferences, are you talking about mental acuity?
Yes. He couldn't even walk up on stage at the press conference. He'd go to walk off stage, and the director had to direct him how to leave. Every press conference, he's mumbling. They can't blame that on the cold. Why didn't they bring it out before the debate?
Tom, appreciate your input. We got a lot more coming up, including political analyst Doug Saltzman, right after the news next.
The thing we never got the credit for, and we should have, is getting us out of that COVID mess. He created mandates. That was a disaster for our country. But other than that, we had given them back a country where the stock market actually was higher than pre-COVID.
Former President Donald Trump from last night's debate in Atlanta, courtesy of CNN. The debate opened with questions about the economy, and a lot followed for the next hour and 39 minutes. Joining us on the Big K Morning Show is political analyst Doug Saltzman. Doug served on U.S. Senator Arlen Specter's staff for parts of all five of his terms. He's been in many other roles, and we welcome him back to KDK. Doug, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Good. Let's get your reaction to just sitting back and watching the debate. Your thoughts.
Well, it was tough to watch at times, certainly. And what was very interesting, I thought, on this is that America knows these guys. No one was going to be surprised, perhaps, what former President Trump said or what the current President Biden said. But what I think they may have been shocked by were two things. Trump was a lot calmer than he usually is. And certainly when they think about those debates 4 years ago, how he was constantly interrupting then candidate Biden, who was the former vice president at the time. He wasn't able to do that because of the muted mics. But then on the other hand, where people have concerned about the age of the current president, President Biden, he didn't help himself with that debate. His staff came out afterwards and said, well, he had a cold. We usually... staff says that ahead of time to temper people's
expectations,
to temper people's concerns. Exactly. But they didn't do that, which I find surprising. So the question is, did he have a cold? People would have said, well, why didn't they just mention that ahead of time? So, again, I think bigger than issues in a debate between these two guys is image. Image seems to be a bigger issue for the voters because they know them. Nobody's better recognized on the planet, perhaps, at this point, than Donald Trump and Joe Biden.
You know, I'm curious, Doug, and Paul brought this up earlier in our conversation, the format itself for the debate, what did you think of no audience and no support from staff, no printed notes, and muting of the mics?
Yeah, I thought it worked very, very well. And I think we've seen the days, they've come to an end with an audience in the studio. There's just no need for it. It's not a political rally. The point of it is not to have people cheering in the background. CNN really hurt themselves 4 years ago when they had that debate, when Trump repeatedly criticized the moderator and there were cheers from the crowd. It did not help CNN at all.
Hey, Doug, about that, by the way, if I can just jump in real quickly, what is your evaluation of the performance of the moderators? I just read a review that said that they were fair.
Yeah, I thought they did very well. They clearly were reading the questions, and I have no problem with that. Obviously, they couldn't be reading from a teleprompter. It would have been right between them and the two candidates. They read those questions specifically. If someone had extra time, they said, you have 39 seconds. Let's go back to the question. So I thought they were good at that, at redirecting a candidate to what the actual question was. They did give extended time, as they said would be a possibility, but it's not as if it ran 45 minutes long. It ran 9 minutes long. That's pretty good in a situation like that. But no, I thought the setup, if there was a winner last night, it was CNN. They got a lot of attention. The requirements were that you had to have CNN on the screen, whether ABC, NBC, Fox, who, you know.
Right. We carried it. We make sure we attribute the sound to CNN, which is fair. Yeah, you bring up a good point. All right. Final question for you, Doug. What does the Democratic Party have to do to try to unravel maybe what unraveled last night?
Yeah, it's a tough road ahead at this point, simply because the criticism against President Biden's performance was so pervasive. You expect the Republicans to do it and Republican analysts to do something like that. But there was so much heavy criticism from the Democratic side of the aisle. When you think of someone like Donna Brazile, the former DNC chair, said he missed an opportunity. David Axelrod, who was a top advisor to President Obama, was very negative about the current president's performance last night. And this idea of a brokered convention hasn't happened since 1952. I can't imagine that happening in this day and age. But when you have Democrats talking about the possibility of that, that's rather shocking.
Doug, we always appreciate your input. If you don't mind, we'll reach out again soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Have a good day.
Doug Saltzman on the Big K Morning Show. And to Doug's point, Paul, Ed O'Keefe is a respected CBS News senior White House and political correspondent. Here's what he said.
We were warned ahead of this. If Democrats see a good performance tonight, they'll be okay with it. They'll move on. If they don't, panic will ensue. Tonight, there are signs that some elected officials in the party may be at least talking about going to the White House and the Biden campaign and saying he's got to rethink whether he should be the nominee. How far that would go, how serious it would be, remains to be seen with just a few weeks until the Chicago convention. But it is being talked about in real ways.
Larry, the last time a delegation of important people went to the White House to deliver a message like this to a president was when the senators went to see Richard Nixon about Watergate. This is historic.
And coming up, what do you think? 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020, getting reaction. And in the next hour, right after the news at top of the hour at 7 with Paul Rasmussen, we're going to talk to the man who heads the Democratic chair here in Allegheny County, Sam Hans Greco. And then in that next half hour, Sam DeMarco, who is the chair of the Republican Party here in Allegheny County. Terry Sullivan, CBS News political contributor, who has worked on Republican presidential campaigns, had this to say post-debate.
This was a horrendous performance by the president. I mean, when you know, it's tough for Democrats to defend, and they're not. And my text chain from my Democrat friends, they're scared to death, and they're using words that I can't say on air. So it's going to be really tough for the Biden campaign. They've got a rough few weeks ahead of them.
Joel Payne is the CBS News political contributor, a Democratic strategist who worked on the Hillary Clinton campaign.
And I think what the Biden campaign is going to focus on over the next 48, 72 hours is fixing that with spin and fixing that with going and trying to highlight the moments that they felt like were best and are going to be moments that are going to bring some Democrats home, not necessarily the tough moments in the first 10 or 15 minutes of the debate.
And then the fact-checking. Major Garrett, CBS News chief Washington correspondent.
Former President Trump has said over and over again that he doesn't want to touch Social Security or Medicare. He made some references to some cuts within Social Security in one CNBC interview, but a spokesman for the campaign later came back and said that was not about benefits, that was not about anything structural within Social Security only waste and fraud and abuse. That's what the Trump campaign is. That's why the confirmed team rates that assertion from President Biden as false.
And we want to hear what the local leaders of the Democratic and Republican parties have to say. You will in our next hour.